We're going to be starting again from Tana Rabbanan, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the top, and I did turn on the recording for those who are interested. Tana Rabbanan.
8 lines at the top of...
Pei Gimel Lamed Aleph, 83A1. Tana Rabbanan. La'achem p'tirashish Reb Eliezer. After Reb Eliezer was nifter, nichnasu arba'a skeinim l'hashav al dvarav. Four skeinim got together, it seems like nichnasu they gathered, to ask questions on what Reb Eliezer said. Now there's going to be five questions that we're going to bring, because one person's going to ask two questions. And at the end of the day, the Gemara will dissect and go through each question and what Reb Eliezer's possible answer is.
What did he say again?
Reb Eliezer is the one that said one can divorce. Well, we had a shaila what Reb Eliezer said. He either said a person can divorce his wife besides for Shimon, or he said under condition she doesn't marry Shimon. We had a question what Reb Eliezer said. And they came to ask on him, who are these four chachamim? Eluhain, Reb Yitzchak Lili, Reb Tarfon, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, and Reb Akiva. And these were the students, basically, of Reb Eliezer. Right? Reb Akiva learned by Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua. Reb Elazar ben Azariah was even younger than Reb Akiva, and Reb Tarfon is a shaila, whether he was a contemporary of Reb Akiva or he was a Rebbe of Reb Akiva, but he was obviously not on Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua's level, he was a little bit younger than Reb Eliezer and Reb Yeshua. He might have been older than he might have been Reb Akiva's Rebbe. It's a shaila of the Gemara. And Rabbi Yitzchak Lili, who seems to be a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva. So those were the four that came to ask the questions. Interestingly enough, as an aside, I never knew this before, but there's a Yishalmi in Brachas, there's two Yishalmis in Brachas. One says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was 16 when he became Nasi, unlike our Gemara that says probably that he was 18. But there's another Yishalmi that says that he was an older person. Yishalmi ben Zariah, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even though he became a Nasi, and Nasi usually cuts a person's life short because of the job of being a Nasi, he had Arichas Yamim. That's what it says. He had Arichas Yamim even though he was a Nasi. So it's interesting. That Yushami seems to say that he was an older person. He was not 16 or 18. Seems to be a contradiction. Again, it's not Negeas, really. It's just an interesting aside. Weiter. So these are the four questions. Nana Reb Tarfon Vavar. Reb Tarfon is the one that went first. He said, now, I just want to point out that some of these questions will be going on chutz, and some of these questions will only be going on almanas. And the Gemara will go through each question and show you how that Tana understood Reb Eliezer, and therefore ask the following question. So I'm just going to read the questions. I'm not going to dissect each question. The Gemara will do that. The Gemara will also offer you what Reb Eliezer would have said had he been here to answer the question. At least the Gemara says this is what he would have said. Zuck to Gemara. The retirement was first. He said, this woman went and married the brother of the one she wasn't allowed to marry, right? So Shimon couldn't marry this woman. That was the way the husband gave the get, either chutz or manas, we don't know. And then she married Shimon's brother, and that brother would die without children. Didn't he uproot the mitzvah of Yibum? How could you have a get that doesn't allow a remarriage to have the mitzvah of Yibum? He's uprooting a mitzvah in the Torah. It must be that this get doesn't work. That's what Reb Tarfon said. Again, the Gemara will explain how he understood Reb Eliezer, what exactly is his question, and what Reb Eliezer's answer would have been. Rashi, we'll take Rashi each one. After her divorce. And marry the brother of the one she's not allowed to marry based on the get. She can't have Yibum. She ain't that Christus Amr Batira. So Amr Tira Christus Arkadav Menatira. The Torah doesn't want a krisis that uproots a mitzvah in the Torah. That was Reb Eliezer's, Reb Tarfon's question on Reb Eliezer. Reb Yitzchak Lili Amar, Nana Reb Yitzchak Lili Amar. So this is question number two, and this came from Reb Yitzchak Lili. Gomer Heichem Matzinu Asur l'zeh, mutur l'zeh. How can we have a woman that's allowed to marry some people and not allowed to marry other people? And again, the Gemara will explain what his question is. Asur, asur l'kayel, mutur, mutur l'kayel. Either she can marry everybody or can't marry anybody. Here, Rabbi Eliezer is letting her marry everybody besides one person. How can that be? That was his question. Lamata changed that crisis. Now the Gemara will respond to this question. We will see. That's the second question. Nana Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah v'amar, and he said, "Crisis davar akaris beinu lebeina." Crisis means it has to be a total severance, a total separation between husband and wife. And here, it's not totally severed because she can't marry somebody based on the husband. Lamata changed that crisis. Rashi? Is there Rashi? Yes, there is. Hakaris beina lubeina. Verakati agidabe. She's still attached to him. Asar loitzesh. That's right. Nana Rabbi Akiva v'amar. So now Rabbi Akiva came back with two questions. The Gemara has a shiloh. Which one Rabbi Akiva said? It seems from the Gemara later on he said both. And we will see how the Gemara works it out. Nana Rabbi Akiva v'amar. Hashahokhazu b'neses lechem ben ashok. This lady who was not allowed to marry Shimon went and married Levi. Not his brother. Married Joe Shmo. V'hoylo banim. She had children from Joe Shmo. B'nes armelon is garsha. She became widowed or divorced. The umda v'nisus l'zesh in Esraelos. And she got up and then married Shimon. So now it ends up retroactively that her marriage to Joe Shmo was not a marriage because the get was invalidated. That means her kids from Joe Shmo are mamzerim. Is that a way to do that? Halamata shayza krisis. Rashi. V'nim to get batul l'mefreya. Shayat amala amanashloi t'nasu l'poini. Ubenem and amtsoi is mamzerim. Shayza krisis. Why? We don't want a get that can cause mamzerim. And this get, the way it was given, can end up causing mamzeris. Here, Titus asks the following question. Titus's question is, Reuven divorced her on the condition she can't marry Shimon. Right? She married Joe Shmo. Now, Joe Shmo divorced her or died, and now she marries Shimon. So the Gemara says, it's mamzerim. In fact, Taisus, really, if she marries Shimon, she was retroactively an Hesh Ish. That means she didn't marry Shimon. You can't marry Shimon if she's an Hesh Ish. Right? Reuben divorced her under the condition she won't marry Shimon. She went and married somebody else and had kids. Now she marries Shimon. Retroactively, the get is no good. Meaning she's not divorced. Right? That's what happened. The get was given a condition she doesn't marry Shimon. She married Shimon. But she didn't marry Shimon. Because if the get's no good, she's an anxious ish. She can't marry Shimon. So she didn't marry Shimon.
The kids are still mamzerim. Well, who cares if she's married or not? His kids remain mamzerim regardless.
Told her not to marry Shimon. It's not true. Because she never married Shimon, so the get's good. She never married Shimon.
Huh. Yeah, but once she goes and marries him afterwards, the kids become mamzerim regardless.
She can't marry Shimon. It's not a marriage.
What is an anxious issue?
She can't marry Shimon. It's impossible for her to marry Shimon. Because if she marries Shimon, she's an anxious issue. She didn't marry Shimon. He understands it. He's a smart fellow. He knows.
Alexandra?
Right, so that's Tyson's discussion. So Tyson's answers, Reuven died in the meanwhile. Now she married Shimon. When she married Joe Shmo, Reuven was alive. Now she married Shimon after Reuven died. So she did marry Shimon, but it invalidated the get. And therefore makes her first marriage a non-marriage, and therefore the kids of Mamzerim. That is the way Tysus answers the Kasha. Now, the only way she can marry Shimon and invalidate her get is if Reuben ended up dying. So as far as Shimon's concerned, she's an amana. So he married her. Meanwhile, she had married somebody else in between. Now the get's invalidated, so she had married that person while she was an Eishes Ish. Because she married somebody while she was an Eishes Ish.
How does that make the children from the first marriage there?
Not from the first marriage, from her first subsequent marriage. Reuven, the middle marriage. The middle marriage. That is the way Taisus answers. Ramban says that when a man divorces his wife on the condition that you don't marry Shimon, he knows the fact that she can't marry Shimon because he's still an Eishes Ish. He means you don't go through the motions of a marriage to Shimon. You don't have music and a photographer and a smorg. You don't go through the motions of a marriage to Shimon. That's not what he means, by the way. He means a kedushin and a chuppah. But you don't go through the motions. And if she goes through the motions, even though it's not valid, it invalidates the get. That's what he meant by the condition. It doesn't mean you don't legally marry Shimon, because it's impossible for her to legally marry Shimon. What? No. That's nus. No. They go through the motions of a marriage. There has to be, if they just stomp live together out of wedlock, that's not included in the deny. Inside the condition you don't live with Shimon, it's that condition you don't marry Shimon. Now, she can't marry legally, but she can go through the, send out the chasen invitations, get a caterer, get the music, get the photographer. Right? Those things are the trappings of what a marriage looks like. That's what he meant. That's what Ramban says.
Ceremony.
Ceremony. Correct. Correct.
Rabbi, if Reuven dies, is she still bound to the get t'nai? She still has to maintain that t'nai, even if he dies, the first husband.
She's an amana, but if the get is valid, if she breaks the t'nai, it invalidates the get retroactively.
But he's not here to counterclaim or whatever. He's not
claim. He said, "I'm an actually denatsil abloini."
I mean, so that's forever. So that doesn't.
Meanwhile, before he died,
never
he married. Oh. No. Right. Dover Achar. Rabbi Kiva comes back with
questions. When he died, what is the condition still a condition? Why?
Again, his get was given on condition. His death frees her to marry anybody. But meanwhile, she married somebody before the get freed her. Death meter.
Yeah, right.
So now when she doesn't keep the condition, it invalidates the get retroactively.
Did he die before she went through the motions of marrying Shimon?
Yes.
So where's the t'nai?
She married Shimon.
He's dead.
Dead for what?
So why is there still a t'nai?
Again. The get was given in 2021 on the condition she doesn't marry Shimon. In 2022, her husband passed away. Meanwhile, she had married Joe. Now, she married Shimon in 2024. That means, retroactively, the get was never a get. She had no right to marry till her original husband died, because the get was invalidated. It doesn't make a difference if he's alive or not. The condition wasn't kept. He had left the condition in the get that she can't marry Shimon, and she did.
Until he died. Once he died, she's
putter. She's putter as far as HSC with Shimon is concerned, but it invalidates the get. I can't understand why not. The get was given up tonight. The night wasn't met. You can't mevatel his get. You can't make the get work. No, it doesn't. Well, the get was given up tonight. How does it become invalidated? Because he died. That's not true. He made it tonight. The get can't work if that tonight is not met. When a guy dies, it doesn't mevatel any transaction he did.
A t'nai does not die.
Exactly. Thank you. What difference does it make? The get is a contract. The contract was given on a condition. The condition was not met. I'm not saying she's an Eishes Ish now, but the get didn't work.
Just like a get didn't work, he died.
Again, he died now. He didn't die 3 years ago.
But when he dies, everything's
bottled. Why is it bottled?
Because she's
I want to know. If a guy gives a wife his get, right? Dies 2 years later. She had grusha or amala. Can she marry a kohen?
No.
Why not? It's, he's dead. Everything he did is gone. Death does not obliterate everything he did in his lifetime. That's not good.
When I was going to speak earlier, Rebbe Margaret, then used exactly the word I was going to use, which is, it's a contract.
But,
I mean, if someone buys a house and agrees to give you $1,000 for it, if you die, your estate is.
Right. Dover Achar. Second question. Hashahai is Ash and Esrael of Kayan. Reuben divorced her, and he can't marry Shimon, and Shimon is a Kayan. Umeis Hamagarish. Then Reuben died. Okay, so Reuben gave her a get. She can't marry Shimon. Then Reuben died. By Nimtis Ambana Etzlai Grusha Etzikaladam. So can she marry Shimon? She's not a grusha vis-a-vis Shimon. Vis-a-vis Shimon, she's a widow. A kohen can marry a widow. So listen to this. To the whole world, she's a grusha. To Shimon, she's an amana. Terrence says, we would never let Shimon marry her because she's a grusha to everybody else. How could Shimon marry her? So now listen to what we're doing. She can marry anybody besides Shimon. She's an ashesish to Shimon. If we don't let Shimon marry her because she's a grusha to everybody else, how can we let anybody marry her while the husband's alive when she's an HS ish to one person? If we use the fact that she's a grusha to everybody to say, how can we let this guy marry her, even though to him she's only an amana? But Terence says she has a shame grusha. Well, she has a shame HS ish. Because there's one person that she wasn't divorced vis-a-vis. So how can we let her marry anybody? This is a woman that has a partial HS ish in her. Just, what? To Shimon. Therefore, how can she marry anybody else, Rabbi Yassel? She can't marry Rabbi Yassel because this woman, even though to Yassel she's not an HS ish, but to Shimon she is. Well, it's a different kasha. Not yet. Reuven married her. She can't marry Shimon. He divorced her. She can't marry Shimon.
She's an ashes ish to Shimon.
Correct.
Even though she doesn't belong to him, she has nothing to do with him. Isn't she
ashes ish? She's an ashes ish. Again, she's an ashes ish to Shimon.
She has an ashes ish, but she's still an ashes ish. She's the wife of.
Again, I'm not interested in what she is the wife of. Can Shimon marry her?
No.
Because she's an ashes ish. Can Yasu marry her? Yes. Why can Yassel marry her? She has Ashes Ish in her. Just like we don't let Shimon the Kayan marry her because she has a shame grusha to everybody else.
The question is on the whole setup.
Exactly. Well, not on the whole setup, but the allowance to marry anybody else.
But
correct.
Is that Ashes Ish to Shimon? Is that Ashes Ish?
It's her.
She's not married to Reuben.
We'll see. This is let the Gemara explain the question. I'm not going to get involved. She is an Ashes Ish. The Gemara will explain why she is an Ashes Ish, but we'll let the Gemara do its thing. Again.
So she has a partial Ashes Ish.
Exactly. And therefore, how can we let her marry anybody else? If we don't let her marry after her husband dies because she has a partial Grusha, so how can we let her marry when she has a partial Ashes Ish? That's Rebbe Akiva's question. Exactly. Again, let the Gemara do its thing. That's why we're here. So we can let the Gemara do its thing. Right? Say, Sisishikamur, the Koshkin, the Lamata Shane Zekrisis. Rashi. Nimtis Amone to Kayenze, to Legabe, Legarsha, to him she never got divorced. Ruja to Kaladam. Like they tad Gerish and Shabbat, Sur Asra Kostavola. We had a pasuk that said that if she's divorced from one man, she cannot marry a kohen. So kavuchaymer, right? Going kavuchaymer. Shatulamid emenu. She lives name. He says, "Have a garish to asur lekayin neitzad ishushiba." Before he dies, she should be asked to marry anybody because she has a part ashes in her. Uma is the grusha shukal. Rashi speaks it out. Grusha is only a lav. The less alav, the lav alma. It's only a lav. Matinu Shaskar Al Kayan Zeshi Amon Etloy. She can't marry the Amon Kayan, which is an Amon Nitzad Gerish Shabbat. She ate this Ishi Hamura. Ain't a Dinshi Tiasse Samisha Tira Etim Nitzad Isha Shabbat. Shouldn't the fact that she's a partial HSH banner to everybody? Those are the kashas they were asked. Rabbi Tarfon had one. Rabbi Yitzchak Lili had one. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had one. Rabbi Akiva had two. Nana Rabbi Yeshua Ba'amar. Rabbi Yeshua Ta'amalam Rabbi Yeshua. Ein Mashivan Asari Ba'achamisa. You don't question a lion after the lion passes away. You can't. It's not fair. Rabbi Yitzchak, it's not fair. You can't do this. Now, the place can speak out. So how can a person ever think so of somebody that was nifter? The answer is, that doesn't affect halacha. You have a kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which is a foolish thing to have, but you can have a kasha on Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Very nice. But please pass. You can, theoretically, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the wrong person to make. You have a kasha on an Achron, a great kasha, and Eim HaShivan is a real Achamisa. But in halacha, you have to do what you think is right. Halacha requires you think what you should do, what you think the halacha is. Now, obviously, if it's Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I'd be very careful, depending on who the Achron you think is on are. Again, I'm not going to start commenting on who he has and who not. You're allowed to ask a question on an Achron, and you have to know that he'd be here, he probably has an answer. But that cannot change your approach to halacha. Rabbi Yitzchak writes that in the Tshuva, by the way. He's the one that writes in the English Moshe. You paskin like you went through halacha and saw. Now, obviously, you have to know whether you're allowed to argue on that person. There's some people that it just doesn't make sense to argue. Now, there are a lot of arguing Rabbi Eliezer. It's not like Rabbi Eliezer was not arguable. He was a Tanoim, they were Tanoim. Now, you just have to realize, Dr. Beshua, if he'd be here, he'd answer you. Now, what should you fellas do with halacha? You have to paskin like you see the sugya. But Rabbi Eliezer would have been here, he would have taken care of himself. That's not enough to change halacha. That's enough to change approach and realize that probably the person would have had an answer. But you can't, what are you supposed to do? You see the sugya one way. Ein l'dayin al ma'ashein avrayas. You paskin the way you see the sugya. You cannot paskin the way you don't see the sugya. And interestingly enough, and I'm going to say a case, and of course, because I'm going to say the case, everybody's going to start asking me questions on the case, which I will not answer. There's a shaila about using a magician. Can you use a magician? The Shach, the Taz, most Paiskim, after using a magician. They hold that's included in the Isser of having somebody, Kishef, even though everybody knows he's not a Mechashef, acting in a way that looks like he's pulling witchcraft, it's Usser. Ramesha is Mater. Yes? Everybody that uses magicians at any Pirkei event or anything else is Samech HaRamesha, and it's fine, you can be Samech HaRamesha. Now, Ramesha knows that the Shach argues, and he knows, and he also knows Eim HaShivan is a real Achamisa, but he saw the sugya, he learned the sugya, this is what he came out with, and he passed him that way, that's all finished. Please don't ask me any questions about magicians, I don't know any magic tricks. But that's what Ramesha says. So, Terence is, he knows Eim HaShivan is a real Achamisa. He learned to pay Gimbal in Gittin. But that's that he realizes the Shach would be here and the Shach could fend for himself. But he's mechuyev to learn the Sugya the way he learns the Sugya. He's mechuyev to learn that way. So he paskins the way he learns the Sugya. I just picked that example, and it happens to be an extreme example because it's early Achreinim. Very rarely does Rabbi Shah argue on Shach. But I'm just picking that one because that is an extreme example, just to prove the point. So Eim HaShivan is a real Achamisa, Rabbi Shua says it's not fair. He didn't say they can't paskin their way. He just said it's not fair what you're doing. He's not here to fend for himself.
Who answered the question? Who's answering for
it? The Gemara wants. I don't know what it is. The Gemara doesn't say who it is. The Gemara just says this is what Rabbi Eliezer could have said. Don't think about it.
I should remember the story on the death of the Shach Zariah.
Right. Same kind of thing. Okay, but the Shach Zariah argued on Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly.
The bookshelf fell on the Shach Zariah. The bookshelf collapsed with all the swarm. He got up, he said, everybody was Meichel me, decided to live us. He doesn't want to be Michael Me. And he died.
He was also 90
years old. He was 90. He became Rav in Metz at 70. That was a famous story. He became Rav at 70 in Metz. And they were afraid to take him as Rav. They said, you're 70 years old. He promised them that he will live for 20 years. What?
He guaranteed him 15 years.
15 years could be. At 90, the Swarm Shelf collapsed on him. He got up and said, everybody was Michael Me besides the Lavush. And he died. He said, the Lavush doesn't want to be Michael Me.
Only time he didn't get fired, I
think. He got fired a number of times, yeah.
You've got the Malbim and the Shagazaria favors for
games. No, the Malbim was many years later. The Malbim was because of Ascola. Shagazaria wasn't because of Ascola. The Malbim was fired many times because of Ascola. That's the famous word the Malbim says, I always quote, what the Mokka Rabbanus is. Malbim says, where does it say to get a Rav in the city? He says, the Gemara said, Rabbi Kiva said when he was at Moritz, he used to say, who would give me a tamachachim that I can bite him, like a donkey? He said, it used to be every Amoritz got himself a tamachachim and supported him and then bit him so he could satisfy his lust to bite a tamachachim. He said it got very expensive. So a bunch of Amoritzim got together and said, why don't we all get one tamachachim? We could all bite him. He said, that's the muck of Rabban. The Malbim. He says, that's the muck of Rabban. Anyway, right. Dr. Gemara. Abba Rava, Kula Islu Percha, all the questions have a question on them, which means an answer. Barmid Rablazim and Azayi Delesli Percha. Besides Rablazim and Azayi's question, there is no answer to. Tanya Nami Yochi, Omer Rabbi Yaisi. Rayani, Rabbi Yaisi is not Rabbi Yaisi Aglili, it's Rabbi Yaisi who's a generation later. Rayani is different Rablazim and Azayi, Medivri Kulam. I think Rablazim and Azayi is the one that makes sense more than others. Rashi, Ein Mashivin Esari, Machamisa, Im Hoyekayim, Shema Yachzul Lechem Tshuva. He maybe would have been able to answer. Islu Percha, because Mefarz Vazul Lechameh, but this after the Brisa, like the Gemara will explain, after each Raya of the Brisa. Dr. Gemara Amamar, we are now going to take each question, explain each question, and explain what possible answer Rabbi Eliezer would have said. Now, Rabbi Eliezer is not here. He didn't say those answers. The Gemara is offering what he could have said. Amar. Nana Reb Tarvin B'Amar. Hashahokozu v'nitzis lach of Shoseb. Okay? She went and married Shimon's brother. She was asked to marry Shimon. Umeis b'loi banim. And then the brother died without children. Nimtza zeh eiker tavim min atayra. Frek the Gemara. Eiker? What, he's uprooting? You walker? He's not uprooting anything. All he said is don't marry Shimon. Did he talk about Yibum? Did he say don't do Yibum? Did he go and say I'm against Yibum? Elamasna lachadav minatayra. His condition caused something to be uprooted. Again, the Gemara understands he made a condition against the Torah. In fact, the Gemara masna mi kamar lo lesagid lebintu elachma. Did he say to her you must marry Shimon's brother? Did he put her in a position that she has to marry Shimon's brother so it could be Eichem Mitzvah Yibum? He told her she can marry anybody. There's a whole world out there. She happened to marry Shimon's brother. So you're blaming him for the fact that she married Shimon's brother? Elagayram makadavim minatayram. Terry says, you're right. He didn't put her in that position. But because he said this rule, and she ended up marrying Levi, who's Shimon's brother, therefore, he put her in a position where he was Gairim that the mitzvah was uprooted. That's the kasha. So you can't blame him directly. He didn't say, I'm against the Torah. He didn't make any conditions against the Torah. He said, you can't marry Shimon. So because she married Levi, it ended up that his actions caused Yibum not to be done. And that's what's bothering Reb Tarfon. How can you allow a get that might cause a tyrant thing to be uprooted? Crack the Gemara.
How is he not uprooting the Torah?
He didn't say you have to marry Levi. Did he tell her she has to marry the guy's brother?
He died.
He didn't die.
He eventually died?
He didn't. He never died. No. Who cares if he died or not?
Because he made the answer on his
own Shimon.
Is that his brother?
No, not Reuben's brother. Reuven asked anyone besides Shimon. Shimon is a stranger. Zog the Gemara. Gairam, if that's a problem, Elameata Basakim Layisa, how can the Torah allow a guy to marry his brother's daughter? The guy marries his brother's daughter, he might die without children. And it'll cause that there won't be Yibum, because he's married to an heir of his brother's. Terence says, we don't worry about such things. We can't, the Torah allows it. We don't worry about a guy uprooting, causing an uprooting. Shemayamas Vaitanov and Imsakar and Vakadav and Natira. That's the Gemara Haidu Pirka. That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda would have answered. What?
Is this the Almanas?
We'll get to that. We haven't done a thing yet. Haidu Pirka, that's the answer. Now, what was the Kashas? It's a simple answer. But Rabbi Tarfon also understood. Rav Tarfon viewed it differently. Rav Tarfon viewed that if you marry your brother, if one marries their brother's daughter, it's not shot to uproot Yibum. There is no mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah doesn't write the mitzvah when there's an erva. Here, it's not a Torah erva, it's a human caused erva. He caused her to remain in Ashes to Shimon. So Rav Tarfon, there's a big difference when the Torah made an erva. Listen, this is the Torah never made a mitzvah Yibum when there's an erva. Here, it's not an erva in its essence. It's only because this guy created an erva through this thing. Therefore, Rav Tarfon views it as different. But the Gemara feels that you see that the Torah doesn't care if you cause something like that. It's not your problem, Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Isle Perik, Ihu Akra, Klebhi Akra Mamish, Haneka Melo, but the Muslim shall say it's caused by itself. Aikum mashma ha'isa isa biyadayim. Aikum means you uproot it. Bivumim halalu einu mutalim olav v'yabam sheyu aikra. Not his mitzvah that he's uprooting. Bas akum v'yisa shal yuchal av v'yabam esbita. Because the father won't be able to do yibam. Hainu pircha damar rabbi l'kulis l'pircha. Now we have to understand the question. What case is Reb Tarfon asking God? Remember, we have two pshatim Reb Eliezer. Chutz and almanas. Which of the two is he asking? Frek the Gemara, Umamai. How did Reb Tarfon understand Reb Eliezer? Elay bechutz mishrashari. Now here's a new halacha we never learned. If Reuven divorces his wife for everybody besides Shimon, and then she goes and marries Yassel, she's allowed to marry Shimon after Yassel. The minute she marries Yassel and she becomes his wife, that automatically uproots the last vestiges of Eishes Ish that Shimon, that Reuven maintained. When Reuven said, I divorced you besides for Shimon, so she's still bound, she's an Eishes Ish vis-a-vis Shimon, till she married somebody else. The minute she marries somebody else and becomes his Eishes Ish, it rips her away from Reuven. That's Balocha, even according to Reb Eliezer.
Isn't that, how about Tosa's question?
That's Balmanat. I'm talking about Chutz. If she divorced, Reuven divorced her besides for Shimon. There's a difference between besides and on condition. Besides from Shimon. Then the minute she marries Yassel, it's gone. She's automatically Yassel's wife. You can't be married to two people. You're automatically, well, you could theoretically, according to Reb Eliezer. But here, by being Yassel's wife, it takes away the leftover Eishes Ish. And she can go marry Shimon. So he's not being like Mitzvah Yibum. Here is Reuven divorced to everybody besides her Shimon. She married Shimon's brother. She can marry Shimon afterwards. He's not being a gairim to be Aikim Mitzvah Yibum. Mitzvah Yibum is still there. I just want to finish the Gemara. Dr. Gemara, Elamai, Elay Mebuchutz, Mishra Shari, Reb Eliezer, the Tanya Maida Reb Eliezer, the Megarish is Ishta Ramalai Batarsal called him Chutz Miblaini. He said you're divorced from everybody besides Shimon. This is Lechem and Ashuk and Isarmel and Isgarcha. Shubateris was Ash and Extra Elam. So the Kasha doesn't start. Elabah Manas. Tarfon understood Reb Eliezer is talking about Manas on the condition. Conditions remain conditions. She can marry Shimon's brother and she still has the condition in her original get. It's not like it was Chutz and therefore the next marriage can destroy that Chutz. It's Amanas. That Amanas is always there. Yes?
So, the status of Aishanesh resides in the woman.
Correct. Rashi. B'mai muki reb tarfim puktin reb lezer reb onon. Ibe chutz, mishu shari le reb liyazim li siyabim loy, macha shenitzis li achar, v'not kama ishis harishin legamri. He uprooted her by marrying somebody else. He totally severed that relationship. Elabamanas, muki lo, the kibim tznohu, was the condition of leyizkayim, him to get bottle and afraid of a kind of ashes. Now, you asked me this last week. She married somebody else. Does that cancel the chutz? I told you, wait, this is where the Gemara says.
The Amanat, he said Rav Lazar agrees to that. In that condition.
Again. We had an argument. What was Rav Lazar's case? Chutz or Amanat? With two versions. Our Mishnah Lord, the Machlokes, is by chutz. We had Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Rav Yehoshua ben Yehuda said the Machlokes is by Amanat. There were two understandings of Rav Lazar. We want to know which understanding did Rav Tarfon have.
No, we already had the information about where Rav Lazar holds.
It was Machlokes. It was a Machlokes where Rav Lazar said it. So we're saying Rav Tarfon's question shows that his understanding of Rav Lazar was the Amanat way. Because that had been the chutz way, he would have never had his question. It was the Mishnah versus the price. We had a Mishnah that learned the Machlekes is by chutz, and we had Yeshua Rabbi Yehuda said the Machlekes is by Amanat. That existed.
Right, but so what?
If you
learned our Mishnah, it's only chutz.
Right. So, the Tarfon didn't ask in that version. He held on to Yeshua Rabbi Yehuda. He had a different understanding of the Machlekes. Obviously, there were two ways to understand the Machlokes. Sometimes Noam understood it one way, sometimes Noam understood it the other way. Based on Reb Tarfon's question, you see that he understood it as a Havanah.
But was it both? Meaning?
Again, you could say it's both. That's what Rabbi Schutz offered last week. And he still, the question would only be on the case of Amanas.
You know, if there's a price that says this, and a Mishnah that says this, it's over the Mishnah, right?
No. When the Braisa says the name of a Tana that says different than the Mishnah, you say the Mishnah and the Braisa are arguing.
So only if the Braisa is nameless?
Even that, not so simple. You can have a Machlokes in what was said. You want a Paskin Halacha from a Braisa? The Mishnah is stronger than the Braisa.
That's what I meant.
We're not Paskin Halacha. We're learning Rabbi Eliezer. We don't Paskin like Rabbi Eliezer anyway. This is not a Halacha Pesach. They're learning Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. They're trying to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Whether we paskin that way or not is immaterial.
So it comes out all we're doing this for is to see if their question was more Braisa oriented or the Mishnah. And it means that's all we're doing, right?
Again, I will reword what you said, and I think in a nicer fashion. How did Rabbi Tarfon understand his Rebbe Rabbi Eliezer's opinion? By studying his question, you see how he didn't know the Mishnah and he didn't know the Braisa. Reb Tarfon preceded Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he preceded Rabbi Yaisi Rabbi Yehuda, who was a contemporary of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He didn't know no Mishnah, he didn't know Braisa. He learned by his Rebbe Rabbi Eliezer. It was one of his two Rebbeim. He learned by Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And he went. Now we're trying to analyze how Reb Tarfon, from the Sira of what Rabbi Eliezer said. So by studying his question, you see how he understood his Rebbe. We know it generations later from a Braisa. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Tarfon knew it because that's how he understood Rabbi Eliezer.
The Mishnah wasn't written yet?
No. And they didn't have it organized. It wasn't redacted. It was redacted by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who never saw Rabbi Tarfon. Tarfon lived two generations before him. One of Rabbi Akiva's students, and Rabbi Akiva might be a student of Rabbi Tarfon or a contemporary, it's Machlokes. One of Rabbi Akiva's students is Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi says he saw Rabbi Meir from his back. He never saw the face of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi's later. Reb Tarfon was a Talmud of Reb Eliezer, who lived at the time of the Churban, which was 70, right? Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived in year 150. Around then, that's when he wrote redacted Mishnayos in the Gaius account. Around 150, 80 years later.
Did I
explain how
I'm sorry. Work. The korban might have been year 68. The Gemara says it's year 68. The big Shaila. The Gleim say it was year 70. The Gemara says it's year 68. How to reconcile that is a big question. Yes?
Can I explain how is it that Chutz wipes out the
Tanai? It's not a Tanai.
Wipes out.
Because the marriage to the second guy is strong enough to pull her away completely from the first one. Because once she married the second guy, she's his wife, you can't, and therefore takes away whatever control the first husband wanted to have. Sorry, it's a good question what you're asking. I'm not really giving you a good answer. The way Tysus, take a look at the bottom Tysus, Yilema Bechutz. The time Akivan the Nasa Zashahutralai, the strike in Loi Kalaishus, he gets all the powers of marriage. Upaka Ishus Sharishan Lagamri. Those are the words of Tysus. That doesn't mean it doesn't need more explanation.
Why don't we just say that she demonstrated that she was Mekayim the Tanai by not marrying him and marrying somebody else. That's a key look on the Tanai.
There's no Tanai.
Okay, so I'm saying she demonstrated the Chutz. She did what he said. Chutz was true, she married somebody else. She did what he said. Now she's not, she finished that Chutz. It's over with.
Again. I don't really want to be a devil's advocate, but let me be the devil's advocate. Chutz is a lifetime thing. Why does it go off? I mean, Amanat doesn't go off.
Who says it's a lifetime thing?
Why is Amanat a lifetime thing?
Because there's inherent in condition means there's it's a condition. The condition was not. Not being met.
So why are you translating Chutz different than Amanat? You're just giving me words, but you haven't told me why one should be different than the other.
I'd have to speak to my lawyer.
Okay. Well, your lawyer is sitting right here, and he has a question.
Okay.
Nothing about it. We're next. Then Rabbi Yitzchak Levi Amar. Rabbi Yitzchak really asked this question. We're now dissecting question number two. How can you have a woman mutter to some and us to others? Not true. You have truma and kachim. Kahanim can eat it and Yisraelim can't. We're talking about marriage. Arias. Can't marry your erva, but she can marry other. She can marry other people. She can't marry her erva. She's also to some and mutter to others. Nothing about Isha's Kamina. We're talking about marriage. Arias is a genetic thing, not a marriage thing. So I think about Aishas Ish. And Aishas Ish is mutter to her husband and also to everybody else. Here is a woman that's mutter to one and also to everybody else. Do you see the whole institution of marriage has some mutter and some usher? That's the Gemara Hainu Percha. That is exactly the shlugah. What do you mean? You can't be us to some and other and butter to the others. Every married woman is butter to one and us to everybody else.
Who created it?
Again, if it's always... Again, Rabbi Isaac Lili did not say creation. He just said, where do you ever find that a woman... The answer is, he viewed being married to one person different than not being an atheist to some and being an atheist to others. There, it's a universalism. Dr. Gemara B'mai, how did he learn the case? Elaim about Manas, I wrote a transfer of his nurse. She's mutter to everybody. He said, in the condition you don't marry Shimon. She's not marrying Shimon, she can be mitzana with Shimon. So she is mutter as Aishas Ish to everybody. It's a condition she doesn't marry Shimon. She's not an Aishas Ish to Shimon. If a guy divorces his wife in the condition you don't marry Shimon, she can be mitzana with Shimon. She's not an Aishas Ish at all. It was a condition, she can't marry Shimon. That's only by a former wife. We went through this about a number of times.
We did?
Yes, I said this a number of times. And the fact that Raya is by Arusa, we said, are the vice of Belos of Ilusnus. Anyway, Zogti Gemara. Let me just finish this. And for the Gemara, you're right. I love a Chutz. Rabbi Isaac really understood it by Chutz. So he understood she remains an Ashes to Shimon. And he questions, can you be an Ashes to one and not to others? That's his question. Whereas if it'd be Amanas, he would have never had the question. So here we have a second Tana who understands Reb Tarfon differently than the other Tana. So this machloik is what Reb Tarfon meant, existed right after Reb Tarfon died, after Reb Lazer died. What Reb Lazer meant. They didn't, some students understood one way, and some students understood it the other way. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, we did that already. A tumah v'kachim asurim liyisrael mutum l'rikadim. Arayas bita v'achayisim. Ishis kamin and nesra de kedushin. Eishis ish. Mutaris l'bayil v'asur l'chol adam. She's mutat to her husband, rasa and everybody else. Hainu pirka to come a rabbi l'yahu. Harihut v'yayis l'biznus. Tam anashu l'itinasu to come a law. He just said, don't marry. But queen above a taris l'chol. She's really mutter. She's not an eishis ish to anybody. The answer is, alo b'chot mukil arbi aysak li l'lepuk to rabbi l'yazer. Hukuk fagla. That's why he had the question. To him, she's not divorced. To Shema, she's an anxious ish. Or basically, it says, how do you have a woman that's a partial anxious ish? Either she is or she isn't.
It's interesting. We're putting all our we'll say one thing about the chavim at all. We're not saying anything about the chavim.
The chavim are very simple. There's nothing to understand.
All this is for intellectual process.
That's
all it is.
I don't understand.
Is that true, Jessica?
Isn't all Gemara to understand things?
No, but we're not even putting any emphasis on Chum. Because why? There's never a case that.
Because it's self understood what the Chum said. Now, the truth is, if you learn the Chum are made of Almanas, which the Gemara and Abamina, those questions would be under Chum as well. But the one who asked in Rabbi Yezra understood Rabbi Yezra said it by Amanas. I mean, the Chum did not agree by Amanas.
Now, how do you know it's not Amanas here?
Because Amanas would only say she can't marry him. She can be Mazana with Shimon. I mean, she's not an anxious ish. He said, don't marry Shimon. She can be Mazana with Shimon.
So?
That means she's mutter to everybody. He said, how can you have a woman?
She's mutter to get married.
Exactly. He said, you can't have a woman that's an anxious ish to one and mutter to everybody else. Answer is, she's not an anxious ish to anybody.
Because she can be
Madonna. Yeah, which means she's not an anxious ish. Anxious ish can't be Madonna.
What if his lashon is shalaiti boyle? He's just you can't have any relationship with him.
Again, so that gets involved. It's a good question you're asking, but that gets involved because the minute she lives with him, she invalidates the get, right?
Yeah.
She's not an HSS because he freed her to everybody. He made a condition she can't live with him. That didn't make her an HSS to the guy. It's a condition. It's like on the condition you don't drink wine. Happens to me that this condition is don't live with him. So when she lives with him, she becomes an anxious ish to everybody. Before she lived with him, she was an anxious ish to nobody. So you're zeroing in on the fact that when she lives with him, she's turning herself into an anxious ish. But at that point, she's turning herself into an anxious ish to everybody. There's no special anxious ish to this lady. She's not an anxious ish to this lady. She can't live with him like she can't drink wine. Yes.
The answer comes from the source of Kahuna and Truma, right?
We took that away. We said that's not a raya.
It's not a raya because
we're talking about marriage, not about eating.
Because I was thinking that the corn is corn before he eats.
Again, let me give it. We knocked that out. That wasn't the answer.
Because
Dr. Gemara Baiter. Now, notice the Gemara will not get into Elizabeth Isaiah's question. Because Reb Elazar ben Azariah's question, the Gemara is going to leave for last, because that's the one we have no answer to.
We didn't know that
then. Yeah, it's not true, because Rava said, Kuli is Lepircha Labar Med Reb Elazar ben Azariah.
Do you feel bad,
Rava? Why did I make you feel bad? Rava said it, not me.
Well, I should have known that. We have learned it.
Okay, we'll continue your message tomorrow.